later, and I'm not going anywhere in a hurry, am I? Not with my memory in the state it is. Trying to lighten the mood, I added, you said something about showing me my face earlier on. She answered hesitantly, yes, I did, didn't I? Then she fished out the little penlight she had used in the tunnel and instructed me to kneel down again, looking into the glass. When Yellowstone and its moon had gone by and the cave had become dark again, she shone the torch on my face. I looked at my reflection in the glass. There was no shocking sense of unfamiliarity. How could there have been, when I had already traced the outline of my face with my fingers a dozen times since waking? I already sensed that my face would be blandly handsome, and that was the case. It was the face of a moderately successful actor or a motivationally suspect politician, a dark-haired man in his early 40s, and without quite knowing from where I had dredged this fact, I knew that on Sky's Edge, that more or less meant exactly what it said. That I could not be drastically older than I seemed, for our methods of longevity extension lagged centuries behind the rest of humanity. Another shard of memory, clicking into place. Thank you, I said when I had seen enough for now. I think that helped. I don't think my amnesia's going to last forever. It almost never does. Actually, I was being flippant. Are you saying there are people who never get their memories back? Yes, she said with unconcealed sadness. Mostly they never function well enough to immigrate. What happens to them in that case? They stay here. They learn to help us, to cultivate the terraces. Sometimes they even join the order. Poor souls. Amelia stood, beckoning me to follow her. Oh, there are worse fates, Tanner. I should know. Chapter 6. 10 years old, he moved with his father across the curved, polished floor of the freight bay, their booted feet squeaking on the high-gloss surface, the two of them suspended above their own dark reflections, a man and a boy forever walking up what looked to the eye like an ever-steepening hill, but which always felt perfectly level. "We're going outside, aren't we?" Skye said. Titus looked down at his son. "Why do you assume that? You wouldn't have brought me here otherwise." Titus said nothing, but the point could not be denied. Skye had never been in the freight bay before, not even during one of Constanza's illicit trips into the Santiago's forbidden territory. Skye remembered the time she had taken him to see the dolphins, and the punishment that had ensued, and how that punishment had been eclipsed by the ordeal that had followed, the flash of light, and the period he had spent trapped alone and cold in the utter darkness of the nursery. It seemed so long ago now, but there were still things about that day that he did not fully understand now, things he had never persuaded his father to speak about. It was more than his father's recalcitrance. More than simply Titus's grief at the death of Skye's mother. The censorship by omission, it was more subtle than a simple refusal to discuss the incident, extended to every adult Skye had spoken to. No one would speak of that day when the whole ship had turned dark and cold, yet to Skye the events were still clearly fixed in his memory. After what felt like days, and now that he thought about it, it probably had been days, the adults had made the main lights come on again. He noticed when the air circulators began to work, a faint background ambience which he had never really noticed until it had ceased. In all that time, his father told him later, they had been breathing unrecirculated air. Slowly turning staler and staler as the 150 waking humans dumped more and more carbon dioxide back into their atmosphere. In a few more days it would have started causing serious problems. But now the air became fresher, and the ship slowly warmed back up to the point where